Hey friends, welcome to the City Hope Podcast. My name is Bobby Thompson, and I have the privilege of serving as a lead pastor. I pray that today's message would inspire you, it would encourage you, and it would also challenge you in your walk with Christ. Enjoy today's sermon.
Wow. Can we thank our worship team for leading us so well today? Amen. Also, I don't do this enough. I don't do this enough. Can we just thank our tech squad back there in the back? Making the magic happen, making us be able to sound a little bit better than we really are. I am so thankful for you being here today. I think today's a great day. Matter of fact, just tell the person next to you, today's a good day to have a good day. Come on, tell somebody around you, it's a good day to have a good day. Before I jump in, I want to say just a couple of quick words. I want to thank Bill and Debbie for being here. Pastor Stephen and I had the opportunity to go to Haiti last year. I just say this, Bill, I love you, but Debbie is the boss when it comes to Haiti. All right, it was just fun watching people and watching her, let alone seeing all the kids. But this is such a cool thing because Shira and I, we've been in ministry for over 20 years. I've been to a lot of countries, been a lot of mission trips, a lot of organizations, and I don't speak bad about anybody, but they're one of the best. They are absolutely one of the best that does it. They do it right. They have the right heart. And so let me just encourage you today. You'll have an opportunity after the service. Jump out there, meet them, talk to them. We're going to be announcing some trips that we're going to be taking over there. It's like secret covert trips, right? We're not allowed to say that, but we did anyway. But I just think it's one of the best. So take a minute after the service and go meet them, say hello, and I promise you, you'll fall in love with them. Second thing, next Sunday is our fifth Sunday prayer service. Every month that has five Sundays, that last Sunday of the month, we have a prayer service. It's one of our core values. And so next Sunday, make sure you come. Our prayer service is going to be an amazing time together where we just gather as a church and do what God called us to do, right? He said, my house will be called a house of prayer. And so that's what we want to be. That's what we want to do. And so next Sunday, we're going to spend the entire service just praising and praying. And so I encourage you to come back for that. We're in a series right now called Stories. And the reason we call it stories is because this is how Jesus taught a lot of times. He told stories, and we call those parables. And when Jesus was teaching these parables, what he was doing, he was giving an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. He would try to help us relate to these stories. He would put characters in these stories that we could really understand and really relate to. And typically when you listen to a parable, when you read a parable, you kind of find yourself, you identify with a character in the story. And so that's what we're going to do today. I pray that you'll find yourself and God will speak mightily through you. So if you have your Bible, go to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15 is where we're going to be today. And just a little bit of context as you're turning there. Jesus is doing his earthly ministry, and he's going from place to place, town to town, and he's teaching. He's trying to teach people the word of God. He's trying to teach people moral truth and lessons. And so he's using these parables, these stories, to get his point across. So let me invite you to stand to your feet and honor the reading of God's word. We're going to be in Luke chapter 15. And I'm going to tell you two stories here. They're two short stories with the same kind of meaning and takeaway. So the Bible says this: all the tax collectors and sinners were approaching him to listen to him. Now go there with me for just a second. In your mind, just imagine Jesus standing there teaching. All the tax collectors and sinners, these were the outcasts. These weren't the people that you see at church every Sunday. These were what we see as the bad people, all right? The Pharisees and the scribes were complaining. This man welcomes sinners and eats with them. So he told them this parable. What man among you has 100 sheep and loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open field and go after the lost one until he finds it? When he has found it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders, and coming home, he calls his friends and neighbors together, saying to them, rejoice with me because I have found my lost sheep. I tell you, in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who do not need repentance. Then verse 8, he tells another story. What woman has 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, "Rejoice with me, because I have found the silver coin that I lost." I tell you, in the same way, there is joy in the presence of God's angels over one sinner who repents. Pray with me. Father, I love you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for these parables. I pray that you would speak mightily into our hearts today, no matter what we've brought into this room. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. I think when we read these two stories, I'm going to give you the central truth, right? This is what I believe that Jesus is really wanting us to comprehend out of this story, all right? And it's pretty simple. It's this, that Jesus is relentless. Jesus is relentless. He doesn't quit. He doesn't give up. He pursues. He searches. He's unyielding. He's unstoppable in his pursuit with his love for people. That's it. That's the lesson. We can go home, all right? That's what it is. That's what Jesus is trying to get these sinners, these tax collectors, and these Pharisees, he's trying to get them to understand that Jesus is relentless. But today I want to just try to unpack that just for a minute, because I really want you to grab a hold of what that means. Relentless is not really a word we use a lot. But what is, really understand the relentlessness of Jesus, okay? So imagine, you mean to tell me the guy who, and then you fill in the blank. The most evil, the wicked, the wrong, the thoughts that you can fill in the blank. You mean to tell me that the guy who does blank, Jesus is relentless? You mean to tell me that woman who you know, do you know what she's done? You know what she said? Do you know what's happened to her? Really, is Jesus relentless after her? See, what I think is, if we're going to be honest this morning, it's kind of difficult for us to understand this concept of how relentless God really is. How can God love them after they did that thing? After they said that to me? After they hurt me? How in the world can God love those people? Maybe for some of you in here today, it's a little more personal. How can God love me after all I've done? After all I've said, after all the promises that I've broken, after all the things that I wish I didn't do, how can Jesus be relentless after me? And it sounds somewhat illogical, right? It sounds like it doesn't make a lot of sense. But let me remind you of this. God is illogical when it comes to his people. God doesn't think like you and I think. And let me show you what I mean by that. Let me show you how illogical God is. Look back at the first couple verses here, okay? Now, we have all the tax collectors and sinners were approaching him to listen to him. All the Pharisees and scribes were complaining, all right? So we got two sides in the room here. Which side do I like better? You guys are going to be the sinners, okay? You guys on this side, y'all are the sinners. Y'all are the tax collectors, all right? Over here, you guys are the religious elite, okay? You're the Pharisees. You're the scribes. You look good. You smell good. You took a bath this morning, all right? So here's these two different types of people, very different sides of the tracks, right? And they're standing here, and all the tax collectors and sinners, they're probably just like, who is this guy? I'm just interested. I want to know what this guy's talking about. I probably don't belong in the room, but let me see what he's going to say. And then all the Pharisees and scribes, they're going, look at them. Why are they here? They don't belong here. They shouldn't be in the room. I mean, this is Jesus. This is holy. We're talking about God's son. I mean, we read the Bible. We remember all the verses. Why are those people here? And so right away, there's this group of religious people that are questioning, why is he hanging out with them? Why in the world is he spending time with them? We did all the work. We're the ones that put in the hours of prayer, and we did all the good stuff, and we help old people, and we do all the stuff that you're supposed to do. But Jesus is hanging out with them. It's kind of illogical. It doesn't make a lot of sense. But understand what was happening here. You see, the Pharisees, they were basing all of their knowledge off of worth. They were basing everything that they were thinking because of their works. They thought that they were the worthy ones. Now, before we get mad, sinners, before we start throwing stuff at them over here, we got to look in the mirror. And I want you to think about this question, and this is going to be personal to each one of us. How do you think worth is achieved? In your life, think about the way you live your life, and every day when you get up, every time you look in the mirror, how do you feel like worth is achieved? The reality is, if we'll be honest this morning, most of us live our lives as worth being something that we earn. I'm worthy because if I can do enough good things and think enough good things and act in good enough ways, then I will be worthy, right? We all have a tendency to believe that when I do bad things, I'm unworthy, and when I do good things, then I am worthy. But that is one of the most false narratives that Jesus is trying to teach. And that's what these Pharisees believe. They believe that worth is earned, and we did it all, and they didn't do anything. They're sinners. They don't belong here. They didn't take a bath. They smell. They do all the wrong things. Paul tells us this in Ephesians chapter 2. Look at this. For it is by grace you've been saved, through faith. And look at this part right here. This is not from yourselves. This is not from yourself. It is a gift of God, not by works. Why? So that nobody can boast, so that the Pharisees have no leg to stand on. It's not about you, Pharisees. It's not about how many verses you read and how good you think you are. And what Jesus is telling in this story, and what I think Paul is reiterating here, is that my worth is a gift. My worth is a gift. The basis, the foundation, the reason that I'm even able to call myself worthy is because of Jesus, not because of me. And I want you to hear this today, church. There's nothing you can do in your life today or the rest of your life that can make God love you any more than he does right now. There's nothing you can do in your life to make God love you more than he loves you right now. And there's nothing you can do in your life to make God love you less than he does right now. And these stories here in Luke, what Jesus is trying to get them to understand, he's trying to explain the worth that he puts on people. And so here's what he's saying. You got this shepherd, he loses one sheep, he leaves the 99 and he goes. You've got this woman, she's got 10 coins, she loses one, she tears her house up. And what he's trying to help them understand is that there is a love searching for you. There is a father searching for you. There is a beautiful named person named Jesus searching for you. You ever heard the phrase, well, or maybe you've even said this, like so-and-so found God, right? Their life was crazy and they found God. No, they didn't. No, they didn't. You didn't find Jesus. Jesus found you. He sends a person, he sends a verse, he sends a song, he sends something that he created. Jesus finds us. And it's not, when we tell this story, it's not about who is lost, it's about who is looking. Think about that. It's not about the sheep that's lost, it's not about the coin that's lost. What Jesus is trying to get them to understand, it's about who's looking for them. The shepherd didn't wait on the porch until the sheep came home. No, he went and pursued, and he went and he looked. The woman, what'd she do? She tore her house apart looking. You know what? I hope this doesn't embarrass them, but you know what missionaries do? You know what they do? They go, and they look, and they try to find who's the sheep. Where's the coin? I want to go be a conduit for Jesus, and I want to go, and who needs to hear the gospel? Why? Why? Because every person matters. Every person matters to God. He values all people. You mean a single sheep? Come on, Bobby. A single sheep out of 100? Like, you got to go look for that one? Still matters. You mean one coin, if there's 9 other coins, come on. It's still worth the pursuit. And you know what Jesus, I love trying to come up with clever little statements that you guys will remember. And as I was thinking about this week, one sheep out of 100, that's still pretty good odds, right? One sheep out of, or one coin out of 10, still pretty good odds, right? But Jesus doesn't do averages. He's about individuals. It's not about, oh, that's good enough. That means he's about each and every person. And today, church, understand this, he is about you. He's on a relentless mission. And that's what this story is all about. And when you read this story, and most of you have probably heard this story before, Jesus wasn't just trying to entertain people and you know, have some drama. What Jesus is doing here is he's painting a portrait. He's painting a picture of who the Father is, right? He's using these analogies. He's using these earthly stories to say, hey, the Father is that shepherd who cares so deeply about that one that he's willing to leave the 99 and he's going to chase the one. That's the picture of the Father. It's not just a parable, but it's a picture of God. So here's what I want to ask you today as I kind of begin to wind down. What's your picture of God? Most of you, you walk in your house and you got frames up and you got pictures up, and probably if you have a desk, you have some photos of your family and you know, good times that you want to remember. But let me just ask you, if you had to put up a picture of God, what's your picture of God today? What when you view God and you got to put that picture on the wall, what is your picture? See, the Pharisees here, they thought they were the picture. Let me show you this photo. This is the Pharisees, right? They thought they were polished, all together, no issues. They deserved to be in the picture, right? Had it all together. They obeyed. They tithed. They never missed church. They thought they were the 99. They thought, man, God is so proud of me, and he's staying close to me, and I'm staying close to him, and I'm checking every box. You know what their picture of God was? A strict rule keeper, arms crossed, nodding only when they did the right things and they earned it. The Pharisees thought they were the picture. But what about the sinner? What about the sinner? What's his picture of God? I mean, the sinner, he's unworthy, right? He's too far gone. He's so messed up, and he doesn't even think he belongs in the picture at all. Like, man, I don't even get to have a picture. I've messed up so much. I mean, God doesn't even want anything to do with me. And they have this mindset. They have this picture of a distant and disappointed God and an unreachable God. And that's their picture. And then here comes Jesus. And he tells these stories, and he's painting this picture. And he shows, like, this is the picture of God. This is the picture of God. And Jesus reframes the story for the Pharisees. He reframes the story for the sinners. And he says, listen, it's not about religion. And it's not about rebellion, it's about redemption. It's about what I have done. I have this relentless pursuit. I'm going to pursue and I'm going to celebrate all that happens. And I want you to hear this today, church, because the picture that you have of God changes everything. Because your picture dictates your response. The way that you view God, the way that you frame in your picture of who God is, it dictates your response. If you see God as this cold and distant God, then guess what? You're going to keep running and hiding. But if you see him as this angry and impossible to please person, guess what? You're going to keep trying to perform. You're going to keep trying to earn that worth. But if you see him the way that Jesus paints him, relentless, gracious, celebrating when you come home, then you'll stop running and you'll start receiving. Your picture of God determines how you relate to him. And so today, as we close our time together, what's your picture of God? If you had to put a picture of God on your bathroom mirror, on your car dash, on your desk, something that you're going to look at today, what is your picture of God? Jesus is telling a parable, but it's really about the picture that he's painting. Jesus is relentless. And I don't know every story in the room today, but maybe you relate to the lost sheep. Maybe you're here today and you're like, man, I know that I don't fit in. Like, all of you guys over there, y'all are the 99, and I just feel like the lost sheep. Maybe this morning you've been wandering through your life without Jesus, and you just feel like that lost coin. Like, everybody else is good, everybody else has value, and I'm just kind of here. Listen to me today, church. Here's the message from the Lord to you, that Jesus is relentless in his love. Just like the shepherd, just like the woman, he is relentless in his love for you. And maybe today, listen to me, church, maybe it's time for you to stop running. It's time for you to stop believing that you're not worthy to be in the picture. Maybe today God is calling you out. And so my question is, are you ready to surrender? Are you ready to surrender and stop running? And allow this portrait that Jesus is painting. Jesus himself is painting this picture. Allow this to come into your life today. Take a step today. God's speaking to your heart today. Will you answer? Will you answer today? Here in just a minute, we're going to finish our time together. And everybody's going to go and have a great day. And y'all are going to stop by and see HHA, and you're going to sponsor a kid. It's going to be great. You're going to have a great afternoon. But if you walk out of here today and your picture of God is broken, if your picture of God is not what Jesus is saying, then nothing else matters. So I want to give you an opportunity today. When we're done with this service, this is between you and God. The ball's in your court. God doesn't make us love him. God doesn't make us change our picture. But this is something that if you truly are tired of running and you're ready to surrender, then as soon as this service is over, we're going to say amen. We're going to walk out of here and we're going to leave. You stay behind. Say, hey, Pastor Bobby, can I talk to you? Hey, Pastor Stephen, can I talk to you? I'm tired of running. I'm ready to give up. I'm ready to give my life to him. I'm going to offer you that challenge today, church. For a lot of us in this room, we've made that commitment. You've given your life to Jesus. You know it. Doesn't mean you're perfect. Doesn't mean you get everything right. And for some of you, maybe you realize today that your picture frame of God needs to be reframed, right? You need a new picture. And Jesus is using these stories today to help you get a reframe. It's not about you earning his worth. It's about Jesus. It's who he is. And so today, I want to give you a call to the church. I want to challenge you, church, today. And I think this is one of the reasons why Jesus was telling this story. And he had these two groups, the Pharisees and the scribes and the sinners and the tax collectors, because he wanted the sinners and tax collectors to know who he was, but he wanted to challenge the Pharisees and the scribes to also believe in who he was. And so here's my call to the church today. I want you to look at this with me. Remember what it was like to be lost. How easily we forget, and we start doing this, and we start blaming, and we start pointing fingers. How easily we forget when we were the lost sheep, when we were the lost coin, and how desperate we were. How much we just wanted somebody to love us, and how much we just wanted somebody to help us and keep us, and and be our friend and be there for us. But yet today, once we are, know we're found and we feel like we're a part of the 99, we lose sight of what it was like to be lost. Second call I want to challenge you with is join Jesus in searching. Whether that's giving to other people that are searching, whether that's going, whether that's inviting people to come, join Jesus in the search. It is part of our duty, church. It is part of our call from God not to sit here as Pharisees and scribes going, man, look at y'all. Y'all got it coming. No. What God's calling us to do is to go into the places where the sinners are and say, hey, there's a Jesus who loves you. There's a God who cares for you. And whether that's here in America, whether that's in Haiti, join Jesus in searching. And the third thing is celebrate. I love that at the end of both of those stories, he says, the shepherd, what's he do? He calls his friend. I guess they had cell phones back then. They calls his friend and he tells them all, hey, I found my sheep. I found my sheep. Let's rejoice. Let's have a party. The woman, I tell everybody, hey, I found the coin. And they're probably going, what is wrong? We need to celebrate. We don't celebrate enough. We're so stuffy and all buttoned up. And man, we just need to celebrate what God does. We need to be happy and joyful and call our friends and throw a party and have fellowship and just celebrate who God is and what he's doing in our lives instead of just keeping it to ourselves and being tame. Oh, praise God. Remember what it was like to be lost. Join Jesus in the search. Celebrate every salvation story. Father, I just pray this morning that you would continue to speak to our hearts. I know that all over this room, there's people who their picture of you is not healthy. Their picture of you is not reality. And I pray that today, this story helps us to reframe who you are. Give us a fresh vision, a fresh visual of who you are. You are a father who is searching for us. Not a father with his finger out pointing fingers. Not a father who's disappointed with his arms crossed. But you are a father who loves us, who is relentlessly pursuing us. And Lord, help us to never lose sight of that. Even when I don't understand it and it doesn't make sense. And how can a God do this? And how can he say this? When you know what they've done? Do you know how they've hurt me? Jesus, you call and you tell us. It's not about us. Our worth is not earned. Our worth is only because of you. If we were the ones that could earn it, we would stand and boast. We would be proud. We would think it's all about us. But God, remind us today that it's all about you. And we know that. We know, Father, that everything we do is because of you. Everything we have is because of you. I pray today that you would challenge those of us who have that personal relationship with you. Answer the call. Be relentless in our pursuit of you, our pursuit of what you call us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask you to do something a little bit different. Let's stand to our feet today. Let's stand to our feet. And before we dismiss, we're just going to sing. We're going to worship just a little bit more today. And during this time, maybe you know the song, maybe you don't. But would you just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart? What do you need to speak? What is God speaking to you about today? If you're here today and you do not know Jesus as Lord and Savior and you're tired of running, and today you realize that Jesus is chasing you, he's searching for you, and you're ready to give your life up for him, take that step. Take that step today. Stop waiting. If you're a believer, you would consider yourself a part of the church. Maybe God's speaking to your heart today that you need to begin to be like the shepherd, to be like the lady in a relentless pursuit for the lost. Whatever it is, let's spend just a few moments today responding to God right there where we stand in our hearts. Let's continue to worship together. Thanks again for tuning in with us today. We would love to connect with you, and the best way to do that is through social media or go straight to our website. God bless you and have a wonderful day.